What a mighty God we serve. What an awesome Savior. He is the King of Kings. And we glorify your name today, Jesus. We glorify your name. And Father, let everything that happens in this place from our hearts, let it bring glory to your name alone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you sense the presence of God in this place? He is so powerful. He is so mighty. You can't even put in words to describe how great He is in our midst. In our midst, there is no one like Him. There is no one like our God. He is Jehovah. He is Jehovah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Wow. The day is coming, and it's very near, when we won't even be able to speak because of His glory. We won't be able to do anything but praise Him because of who He is. And it won't be mechanical. It won't be because we have to. It'll be because we can do nothing else. Because from the inside of us will just flow the praise and the glory and the honor and the worship to the one who is above every other name. The name of Jesus. Every knee bows to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh. While you're standing, and for those of you who are at home, I want you to know that God has an appointment with you right now. Right now. And this word that I want to share with you is burning on the inside of me. And I will deliver it through Him only. But I want you to understand that God has made us in a specific way, every one of us. He has made us in a way that He has made us to be sensitive. Sensitive to His presence and sensitive to His glory. But at the same time, we are also human. And we are also sensitive to the surroundings and things that happen around us. And there may be some of you here, in fact, perhaps every one of us here, and those of you who are watching, I want you to really hear what I'm going to say now before I get into what God has for us. I want you to hear this. There may be areas in your life. I don't know what it is. It could be in the area of your marriage. It could be in the area of your children. It could be in the direction of where He's taking you in your life right now. There may be certain areas where you are not experiencing the victory that He has for you. Maybe there's still a bit of confusion. Maybe there's a bit of doubt. Maybe you are seeing failure. Maybe there's something that is not making you feel like you are more than a conqueror right now. I want you to know, according to the Word of God, there is more for you than what you're experiencing now. And the word that I'm going to bring to you, I pray with everything in me that it'll begin to stir with the inside of you a resounding, a roaring, a huge conquering faith, an overcoming faith. That when you walk out of this place and when you turn the channel or when you get up to have your lunch, that you will feel like you are 10 feet tall. Because you know that you are more than a conqueror. You know that you have the power to overcome. That whatever it is that you are not experiencing victory, you will declare, this is my year of victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no mistake that we ended on such a victorious worship song. It is no mistake that God has reminded us right now of who He is in our lives. Today, we are claiming our victory. We realize who is on the inside of us today. He is more real than the circumstance around you. He's more real than the person that is next to you. He is our conqueror. He is our overcomer. Hallelujah. So before you take your seats, I want you to turn to someone next to you and say it like you mean it. I want you to declare, this is my year of victory. Say it again. This is my year of victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Wow. There is so much. And you know what I will tell you? I sat with the stopwatch going over this message because I need to fit it all in. So I'm going to race as much as I can, but I will be teaching and I will be bringing across a truth that the Holy Spirit can only do. So I want you to hold on to your seatbelts, but pay attention with everything that you are and have, because this word is hot off the heart of God. Hallelujah. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. This is the year of victory. It is the year of His manifest love. You can't have one without the other. In Him we have victory. John 16, verse 33 says this. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," say in me, "you may have peace. But in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Jesus says, I'm telling you these words because in me, you have peace. But in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Today I'm going to be speaking to you about the power to overcome. The power to overcome. Now, when Jesus, and we're going to take this John 16, 33, and we're going to rip it apart. We are going to dig into it, and we're going to get a word that you will never be able to forget. Because God's word produces faith. And we cannot live in the victory unless we have faith on the inside of us. So here we are in John 16, 33, and Jesus speaks about the world. He says, in the world, you will have tribulation. That word world comes from a word called cosmos. Now, we've heard that before. Really, what it speaks about, and tell your neighbor, it's actually going to get a bit rough here. Might get a little bit rough, a little bit uncomfortable, but don't you worry, it gets better. Okay? I need to take this and put a picture on it for you so that you can never forget this. In the world, speaking about cosmos, it is really the devil's little domain. It's the place where he has his wield, or he wields his power of influence. It's his little place, his arena, where he will kind of use the power that he can in the world. It actually speaks about human systems that all are birthed and motivated from greed, from selfishness, from godlessness. That is the world. Now we know from Scripture, the world we live in is a fallen world. Because of sin, it is a fallen world. It is a bad place because of who is running the show. Also, the word teaches us that what Jesus said, in this world, there will be what? There will be tribulation. Now, when you understand the word tribulation, it speaks about stressful events. A lot of pressure, a lot of stress from the human systems that govern the world. There's so much stress and pressure, it actually can crush a person's spirit to the point where it becomes naturally unbearable. That's what tribulation means. It's so pressurized, so stressful, it can crush the spirit to the place where it becomes naturally unbearable. Now, it's quite easy to imagine it, really, because when you look at the world around you and you see what is happening in the world around you, you can see that all of creation is groaning and waiting for its release. Because the world takes after the character and the nature of the one who says, this is my arena and I will be in charge. In fact, in John 10:10, the beginning of it tells us of his very nature. Jesus says, he's the thief. The thief has come to steal, to kill, to destroy. That word thief means klepto. It comes from the word klepto. Not a word that is strange to us. You see, it speaks about an irresistible urge for someone to take something that is rightfully not theirs. The devil himself is klepto. He is a thief. He has an irresistible urge to take from you and I what rightfully does not belong to him. He steals. And how does he do it? He does it by intersecting our thoughts. He comes into our thoughts, and I remember he's in the world. This is his little domain. And so he manipulates circumstances. He takes our focus to put it on the things that are happening around us. And then he puts little seeds in our minds, in our thought life. And he says to us, oh my goodness, that is not good. Oh no, you're heading the wrong way. Oh dear, did you hear what they said about you? Hey, do you remember what you did in the past? Do you really think you're going to make it now? Do you know that everybody's watching to watch and see how you fail? Come on. He infiltrates our thoughts. And as he does that, he is so cunning and he is so devious that he steals from us without us even realizing that we've been robbed. One thought at a time, he will steal your peace. One thought at a time, he steals your joy. One thought at a time, he begins to take everything that you are holding on to because your eyes are so focused on your surroundings and your circumstances. That's how he steals from you. Jesus said the thief, klepto, who has an irresistible urge to take what is rightfully not his, he will steal your joy. He will steal your peace. He will steal your hope, and you won't even realize it's gone. And then it says he's there to kill. Now, that word kill in this context does not mean taking human life. It doesn't mean to kill as in we leave this earth and go to heaven. That word kill in the context of this scripture means to surrender, to give away, or to sacrifice something that is very dear to you. Wow. So what does he do? He steals first by these intersecting thoughts in your mind. He tells you all half-truths and lies to bring worry and doubt and confusion and fear. He keeps your eyes on your circumstances and your emotions become overwhelmed. He discourages you to the point that he's taken your joy, he's taken your peace, he's taken hope, and right, the last thing that he can take from you, he doesn't even have to take it. He sits back, and because of your place of discouragement, you simply give it all away. You give up your faith. You just give it to him. Kills your faith. That is how he works. We have been in ministry for many years, and we have seen even ministers of the gospel have one attack upon their lives after the other. Circumstances, 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 until they are so battered and bruised by this going wrong, then that going wrong, then that going wrong, until eventually they said, you know what? We've had enough. This is it. We're giving in. We're walking out. And they walk out of their call. The devil steals. He kills by making you give up just the last bit of hope that you have. And then he destroys. That word destroy means to ruin, to absolutely crush anything good in your life that is left over. That is his nature. And his little domain looks just like him. A world that is full of stress and tribulation because of the systems that are run. Will things get better? No, they will not. Jesus says, no, they will not. But he says this, in the world, and we know what the world is. It's the little domain and little place where the enemy can have his field day. In the world, there is tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome. I have overcome. I want you to scream out now. Scream. Yeah, let's just do it. Let's speak out loud that confession. I want you to say, this is my year of victory. It may not feel like that after I've told you all the bad news, but this is your year of victory. And I'm going to tell you why. Jesus said, I have overcome. That word overcome is the word nikos. It's a Greek word, and it is full of power. Before I tell you more about that word nikos, I need to paint a picture for you, and I'm going to run in my voice while I say it. Do you know? Well, you do know. I need to show you the picture of how Jesus has overcome so the power of it can hit your heart. Before creation, before God created man, do you remember the Bible speaks about the devil being in heaven and he rebels against God and he is thrown out of heaven and he comes to this place called earth. And while he's here, this again is his arena where he can just be the devil and muck the place up and bring devastation and turmoil. Then God creates man. Come on, you know the devil was here by the time man arrived. God creates man. And the first thing he says to man is this: take dominion. I've given you the authority. You go out of this garden, get into the rest of this earth that is in great turmoil. You go and you replenish. You make it right. You go with the authority that I have given you. I've given you that authority. You be like me. You go there and you make the crooked path straight. You produce. So man is excited about his mission and the authority God has given him. But the devil is very upset because this is his arena. He is in charge. So what does he do? Well, the only thing he knows how to do, he is a thief. So he's going to steal the authority from man. How does he do it? He infiltrates thoughts. So he comes and he speaks and sowed seeds into man's heart and into his mind. To the place he goes, are you sure that's what God said? Do you really think he wants the best for you? Do you really know what he actually meant? And one seed of discouragement and confusion after the other, slowly but surely man's peace is starting to go. Man's joy is starting to go. He gets to the place where he questions God's character. And then the last straw, one little thought that the devil says, don't you think God's stopping you from being more than what you can be? Paraphrase. And he gives it away. He sins, goes into rebellion, and he gives away his authority to the devil. Now man is not on the top. Now he's at the bottom. Now even the circumstances rule over him. The devil has a field day with him. Suddenly even the ground is not yielding to him. Suddenly there is drought. The elements of the earth, all the surroundings, all the circumstances, they come against man. The devil plagues him with sickness. He brings filth and greed and selfishness into the heart of man. But let me tell you something. Before the foundation of the earth, my Bible says that there was one who said, this is not how it is going to end for mankind. I will raise someone of my own self who is going to rise up and be the one who will overcome the world. It might be the devil's power here, it might be his way of manipulating and crushing us down with tribulation, but there will be one who will overcome that world. And just over 2,000 years ago, that one came in the name of Jesus Christ, and he decided that he would walk this earth, but as a man and not as God. He gave up, the Bible says, everything that made him God, he gave it up. So that he could be that perfect sacrifice. In order for man to regain that authority, he had to be perfect without sin, but he had to be man. And he had to stand on that cross or hang on that cross. And all of hell had to come upon him that day. All of sin had to be on him. Isaiah said he became an object of horror because he became sin himself as a man without his father. And he goes down into hell itself. And he walks straight to the devil. And he says, I paid the price as a man. I paid that price. And he stretches down and he takes those keys. He says, this is the authority that does not belong to you. You may be a thief. You may be cunning. You may be devious. You may have your little arena. But you will not have authority over anyone who believes in me again. Hallelujah. He takes that authority, and the Bible says the Spirit of God comes inside of Jesus and raises him from the dead. And then the Bible says, and God the Father takes Jesus and he puts him at his right hand. And he says, from this moment on, all authority, all power is given to Jesus Christ, and everything is under his feet. Every power, every principality, everything it says for the ages even to come will surrender to the name of Jesus, which is the name above every other name. He overcame the world. That word overcame is nikos, like I was telling you about. Oh, nikos is written in a grammar that means it's past, present, and future. It is a continuous tense. It speaks of victory in a continuous tense. So when Jesus says, I have overcome the world, the Amplified Bible says in the Greek, because it puts in the Greek meaning, it says, I have deprived it of its power to harm you. Did you hear that? So, while you are standing in this place, and the enemy comes to steal, because that's what he does, and he reminds you of your past, he reminds you of your failures, he reminds you that what happened in the past, it will mark you for the rest of your life. Do you know what Jesus says? He says, you be of good cheer. Do you know what that means? Be of good cheer means be very, very courageous. Be so courageous that you put your head back and you laugh at your circumstances. You laugh at the devil. Why? Because when he reminds you of your past and your failures, and he tells you that you will not make a life or a go of it, do you know what you do? You look at him and Jesus says, hey, I have overcome the world. I have overcome your past. I have deprived your past of any power to harm you. When you look at yourself now, Jesus says, whatever you are going through now, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of any power to harm you now, in the present. It might look like things are threatening you. It might look like the reports you've heard are going to crush you, that they're too much for you to bear. Because in the world, that is how it will be. The tribulation is bad here and it will crush you naturally. But Jesus said, I have deprived every circumstance you are facing today of any power to harm you. When you look at your future and the devil says, there's no ways, look at the economy. I know you have this dream. I know you have this vision. But look at the reality of my world. It will never happen. It will never come to pass. Jesus says, you put your head back and laugh. Why? Because I have overcome the world. I have deprived anything that will come in this future to harm you. It has no power to harm you. Hallelujah. Jesus has overcome. Now, quickly, go with me to John. Tell your neighbor, we're going up a level. Can you go any higher? Absolutely. In the Word. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Am I going too fast? You with me? Do you realize what Jesus has done for us? Do you realize that He is the one that overcomes, that has overcome, that will continually overcome? That's who He is in this world. But now listen to this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Did you hear that? For whatever or whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Who's born of God? Any person that has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, according to the Word of God, they are born of God. Now, this is what the Bible says. We know that Jesus is the name above every other name. We know that He holds all authority. It has been given to Him. You know that in this world there is a devil who is going around and wielding his power, but he has power without authority. He is in rebellion. He is a master thief. That's all he is. When Jesus went down, the Word of God says, He made a show of the devil and He stripped him of all authority and power to harm you and me. He triumphed over him. The devil has no authority. You need to hear this. Why are you afraid of your circumstances? Why are you afraid of what people are saying? Why are you entertaining those lies that are coming to you? Why are you worried? Why are you fretful? Why do you fear your future? He has no authority. Because He has